Hey y'all, welcome to TGIF. It's your girl Claudia Jordan. We are here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al? Dressed
What's
up
going on,
today?
Claudia?
Okay, I see you dressed up today. You have somewhere to be today?
Just meetings in the morning and work in the afternoon.
Okay, what's going on, Armand? I see you with your jacket. What's going on?
Hey, I'm chilling. I'm ready to get into some things. It's Tuesday, right?
It is, and let's get ready.
Yes.
So, now, yesterday we did have everybody was all sober drinking water. Are we doing that today or are we drinking?
I'm definitely drinking. I got my buttery Chardonnay. My soulmates know that that's one of my favorite cocktails, especially when I'm spilling the tea. So I got that and a glass of ice water.
Okay, Armand.
I didn't make it to the liquor store today, so I'm just going to have some iced tea. But it's still tea, though. So it's
It's
cool.
tea. Well, I didn't come through today with my liquor. I had to go to Dunbar High School in Dallas today. We're doing a prom dress giveaway, me and my girls. We met with the students that are going to receive. And it's actually, we included two boys as well, because it's not just about the girls. We wanted people that are in need, and I cannot wait. These quiz kids are real swaggy, though. These young, these, this, it's, yeah, they was wanting Alexander McQueen and stuff. I was like, hold up, we're going to get you something now. But I'm excited. So we went to Papa Do's, and I did drink there. Okay. Let's get into these topics because we have a lot to talk about. All right, y'all. Gilbert Arenas is getting clowned on social media for complimenting Saucy Santana on his twerking video. Arenas said if he had to pick between Santana and Megan Thee Stallion to throw money at, he said, I don't know who I'm going to throw my dollars to. A good show is a good show. Now, Saucy Santana replied and said that these men are. They have thoughts when it comes to being attracted to gay men. Now, do you think Gilbert's comment warranted people to question his sexuality? Armand, what do you think about this story?
I think people are always going to try to question someone's sexuality when a man plays like this, but clearly he's trolling. And honestly, I like when men can play this way because this truly shows that they're actually more comfortable than not because he knows he's not gay. So it doesn't do anything for him to be like, oh yeah, he was twerking better than Megan Thee Stallion. Now, if he was up there trashing Saucy Santana, acting as if he just couldn't look at it or he was just so disgusted by it, then you should be worried. But the fact that he's making fun of it and it's kind of like a lighthearted joke and he's trolling, to me, that doesn't mean he's gay. It just shows that he's comfortable in his skin.
No, because if you watch the whole thing, right? So the whole thing was about him and Nick Young talking. Now, Nick Young and I did College Hill together along with Saucy Santana. And the whole thing, Gilbert started off trying to clown
That's right.
Nick Young for being cool with Saucy. And I even alluded to it on the show. They formed quite a, I won't even call it a bromance. It was a brotherhood. And the bros, the three men were out there. And I actually, it was actually heartwarming to me to see the straight black men on the show really embrace Saucy and likewise. And they really were out there and they really were like the men just hanging out. It wasn't the gay men and the straight men. It was the men, period. And I actually commended Nick for like not being homophobic, not giving a damn what anybody thought. And it was Gilbert on this show that was trying to clown Nick. And then he had, I feel like him kind of giving Saucy props on his twerking was trying to clean it up. That's my opinion. Al, what'd you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It, like Claudia said, if you watch the whole thing, it started out very ugly. He
Yes.
got trashed in the comments. He was called homophobic, and they had pushed it to the point where they call it violently homophobic. But you know, he cleaned it up. He cleaned it up in Gilbert way and in his on brand to him. He didn't offer an apology, which is where the rub is to me. But he did make it smart. He made it playful and he made it fun and on brand. And my whole thing here is where do we hold athletes like this accountable? But I do understand and have to agree with our on the fact that it was good to see, once again, a very masculine male known for having the ladies. It's no secret that it's been spread all over social media. He's not gay. He, has kids with Laura Govan, who was a great mother. But where is that holding him accountable instead of allowing him to play it off from the gay community? We nearly torched the baby for making homophobic comments like that in the past, and I was. Was a little bit indifferent in this space. So, good cleanup on Gilbert's part, but also, where do we hold the accountability?
Well, just so you know, Gilbert is 1,000% a humongous troll on social media. Like he does not take himself seriously. Like he's definitely. But I just thought he. I think I guess that relationship with Nick Young. He's always kind of making fun of Nick, And this was just one more thing for him to clown him for being friends and saying, that's my dog. And I thought that was dope. No. So as far as Nick Young is concerned, I loved to see it. Y'all see it when the show comes out. They really, really got along. All right. Social media is questioning whether Jonathan Majors and Megan Good are really in love after seeing a clip of their awkward red carpet moment. Fans noticed that Jonathan did not seem 100% interested in their kiss. Do you think people are reading a little too much into this? And is every kiss supposed to be perfect? Al, what do you think about this? What do you think?
I think people are reading too much into this. You know, I've been on these two's neck here on TGIF, but I got to be honest. I don't think it was awkward, but the verdict is still out for me on this couple. And let me share with you why I'm concerned. First, until last year at Essence Festival, I have never seen Jonathan Majors in his come up since 2017 on a red carpet or attended any traditionally high profile Black event or African-American event. I've never seen him at Essence before. I've never seen him at the American Black Film Festival before, the NAACP Image Awards, BET Awards, or even the Soul Train Awards until he started dating Megan. The second thing is, I also have never seen Jonathan Majors publicly with a Black woman. And that, you know, that too is a little bit why I'm concerned. Are we seeing him in these spaces? Are we seeing him with these women because he's got convicted of a convicted for abusing a white woman? Okay, so that's where my mind is. Is this really him and his interest, or is he doing this in order to garner the sympathy of the Black community? Because, you know, we will take you back in once you get kicked out of the main house. So that's my rub there. And to be honest, and you know, we all love Megan, and we keep saying this over and over, at least I keep saying this, she has really helped him. So does that mean that because she's exposing him to the other side, he's embracing it? That could be the case too, but I'm just not convinced yet. And seeing them on the carpet after this recent event, I'm still uncomfortable.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
Listen, so I watched the video over and over and over, and I was like, okay, maybe he just wants to like not mess up her makeup, or maybe he doesn't want lipstick on him. They are on the red carpet, but I'm no body language expert. But now that I'm looking at it, it was the look off for me. Like, he didn't really seem engaged at all. So to me, it kind of feels like he wasn't interested and she went in for the kiss. And to me, something does feel off about this. It kind of feels like, okay, we'll do it, but he didn't even look at her. So to me, it doesn't feel like there's really much of a spark there, because I don't care where we are. If I'm really into you, baby, kiss me. All in my mouth.
I guess. But, you know, there's also other things. Again, I have to always be open-minded. They could have had an argument on the way there. She could be annoyed with him. Maybe he's obnoxious. Maybe he took too long to get ready. There's always other reasons that it could be like that. So I hate to judge people based on one moment on a carpet. I did not like the look off. I would be like, look at me, sir. I would definitely be like that. But maybe she's not confrontational like maybe the panel right here would be, because I think all of us would be like, eye contact, please. But I don't know. I haven't been around them enough to really see how I feel around them.
Do we know anything? Well, you know, I've seen them the last couple of four or five times, and that's what seeing them out. I will have to give them that seeing them out has made me more comfortable with this relationship. But my question is, do we know he has a daughter? Her name is Ella, and Ella is about 11 or 12 years old now. But we don't know anything about the mother. But we do know in interviews that he said that she's of a mixed ethnicity. So do we know if that first mother is what race she is? Do we know or do we care?
I never care. I don't care.
Got it.
I don't. But I'm not surprised she's white.
But I see you're leaning out. I see you're saying basically like, you don't think he really is into her. You think he's using her for the sympathy card because she's a Black woman. That's kind of what I'm getting. But I feel you on that, because it's like, there's no energy there. There's no real chemistry there. You know what I'm saying? So I could see why you would have that feeling.
Well, you know, and the other side of that, we could argue that she's helping him become more comfortable, and she's exposed him because, you know, she's an advocate of the community, and her entire family is, and has been making great content for us for over a decade. So I'm warming up a little bit, but I'm not quite there.
Since I'm an optimist, what I hope is, yeah, maybe he did stay with Snow Bunnies all through his career, and he finally got with a sister that is actually one of the most beautiful women out there. And maybe right. this is all new for him being in Black spaces, because I've never seen him before in real life, but I also never really was checking for him, so I don't really know. So I'm hoping, like, there's other Black men that have been white women, and then they got with a Black woman, and they totally jumped in. Russell Wilson was married to a very unattractive, well, a very regular, schmegular white woman. And then he got with Sierra, and he's all in. I mean, it does happen. Like, I'm wondering, where did he grow up? Do we know? Did he grow up in, like, a white area? Where did he grow up?
He grew up in poor beginnings, so I'm not sure. Hold on, let me get it right. It was in Texas. I think he grew up in Texas, Claudia. And he said that he grew up in very needy environment, so he didn't get anything that he needed when he was growing up.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there's other stars from Texas that definitely like a lot of white women, and then they finally get a Black woman, and they, I hope.
But don't you guys think, like, when you have all this kind of controversy around you, you're not gonna be shifty like that. You're gonna make sure it's known to the public, because all eyes are on you. This is like a high profile relationship at this mm-hmm. point. So aren't you gonna play your cards right, at least for the camera? Like, you know what I mean?
I think he's uncomfortable.
I think he's uncomfortable.
Like, yeah. I will say this about Jonathan Majors. Listen, we sometimes give you a hard time, but when he first came on the scene, he did that weird photo shoot where he was like, in every picture, everyone came for him saying, is he gay? Is he straight? So he had that. Then the thing comes out with the white woman debut thing. Then everything he did is like through that lens. I try to be like, okay, maybe he's uncomfortable and awkward because he knows a lot of eyeballs are on him. And this was a high profile event to go with someone. And I don't know, maybe I want to give people the benefit of the doubt more in this year. I really think we should, because he may be uncomfortable. Now, if you mess up one, you don't got not even a half a time to mess up with this relationship.
Yes, no more, Claudia.
No passes after this. You can't grab her up. You can none of that.
Right.
None
he better be basically sleeping with her on this next carpet.
Yeah. Lovely said, Meg is too fine for this. He doesn't deserve our top tier Black women. And Actress 29 Austin said, I don't like them together. There's something about Jonathan that I do not like. Megan can do better. And Simone R. said, Jonathan Majors doesn't have a choice. Nobody's inviting him to the Oscars. He's Megan's plus one now.
Ooh, soulmates be in it.
It looks like Lamar Odom is trying to stay connected to the Kardashian family by any means necessary. Okay, I saw this online. I'm like, what is going on? Lamar Odom has teamed up with Caitlyn Jenner to launch their new sports podcast. The podcast will be titled Keeping Up with Sports. And they have a few celebrities scheduled to appear on the show. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you should go first.
I make no secrets. I am not here for Caitlyn Jenner. I was here for Bruce. I'm not here for Caitlyn Jenner. And it has nothing to do with the trans issue. It has everything to do with your privilege. You are a Republican white male that transitioned to a woman, right? And then right after you killed someone, vehicular homicide, mind you. Okay, never mind. And that's not alleged. And I just feel like you don't move in the way that is beneficial to the trans community. So you still behave and move like a privileged white man. You do not behave like someone that is an advocate for the community. You are on some BS. I feel like you're surface trans. I don't think it's in your heart. And this is me, my opinion. This is not that of Fox Soul. Don't blame them. Don't blame the network. This is me. I've never been it because I remember Caitlyn making a very surface comment about womanhood. And it really rubbed me the wrong way, because womanhood is not putting on a wig and lashes and getting fake titties. Okay. It is not. It's so much more than that. So as a woman, just like as a Black person, if you had a Black or a woman or a white person say, oh man, the struggle is so hard, and they got braids and they got a tan, you would be like, girl, bye. And Caitlyn made a comment with, like, oh, woman, it's so hard to be a woman, getting my nails and hair done. Bitch, I mean, no. So I'm just not here for it. But hey, it's probably going to be entertaining. Lamar and Caitlyn together, I mean, I'm definitely going to peek in and take a little look and see what's good over there. Amon, what do you think about this team? Are you here for it?
I'm not really into sports, but listen, why not? You know, use the name and create your spinoff. Let me tell you something. And I love the Kardashians. I like them. I'm not going to lie, but the Kardashians, each one of them have exploited their men and their relationships their entire career. So at this point, you know what? Make some money off of it too. Now, I'm not saying the men have been perfect, but at the end of the day, you know, I feel like those men sign these invisible contracts. Whenever you get with a Kardashian, each one of them has a season with you to go ahead and exploit you and destroy you. Every man that's been attached to a Kardashian has spiraled out of control at some point. So you know what? Get your affairs in order and make some money off the Kardashian name. I ain't mad at the boys for teaming up.
Well, it's not really the boys, Amon. We have to be respectful to Caitlin, don't we?
Well, Caitlin.
Because Caitlin is Woman of the Year.
Yes, she is.
First 6 months out, Woman of the Year.
Yes, well, I'm going to say this. I'm probably not going to be watching, but I can say that I will support Lamar Odom on this. First of all, I said this before in the past. I am liking the way these masculine, black, successful athletes and men are bridging the communities. And this is an example of them bridging, you know, the straight community, black males, masculine, to the trans community by him stepping into this space with a trans woman. The second thing that I can agree with, and especially with what Armand is saying, is I can agree with Lamar Odom being smart. He knows that the Kardashians know how to make money. They're going to make sure that Caitlyn's show is successful, that it's marketed correctly, that it gets all the pickup and coverage that it needs, and that the checks are going to come in. So I'm going to commend Lamar for being both smart as well as, you know, somewhat of a voice and an advocate of the LGBTQ plus community.
I hear that. I just wish Caitlin was more of an advocate of the LGBTQ plus community, because I feel like Caitlin does not use her privilege and her access to help the community as much as she should.
And allegedly, a little T, allegedly, you know, they were saying that Lamar Odom was connected to a popular transgender, allegedly.
Who?
Well, I don't know her name, but he was allegedly supposed to be dating a trans. She had kind of posted it. So, I mean, people say that Lamar likes the girls here and there, allegedly.
Oh, well, anyway, whether he likes the girls or not, I will have to say that I have enjoyed getting to know Lamar over the last couple of years, and especially since his recovery. And he's just a stand-up guy. So whether he is connected to the girls or not, I commend him for staying on his business and doing stuff like this, especially being an athlete that we all have grown to love and respect over the years of his time in the league.
Oh, I have to write my book, you guys. That reminds me so much. I have to write this book. Okay.
Spill the tea, woman. Don't be
spill the tea, yeah.
Put a name on it.
You can Google, there was a time where Lamar tried to make a thing happen, and you'll see it. And it was a big thing on TMZ. And I had
with
to
you?
Yes, he called the paparazzi. It's a whole thing. We don't have time for that right now. Ansel D'Angelo said,
Kate, was that pre-Kardashians or post-Kardashians?
It was 2 weeks before he got with Khloe.
Also, pre-Kardashians, okay.
But, you know, he was going through a lot of issues and stuff. You know, he had, like, that sex addiction and stuff and the drug stuff, so.
I did not have sex with him. Ansel D'Angelo said, Caitlin just wanted to dress in women's clothes and wear a wig. She doesn't care about trans or gay issues. And Katrina Evans said it should be keeping up with the balls.
Wow.
That was the soulmates. Y'all shady. All right, coming up next, Jake Paul finds a shocking way to get under Mike Tyson's skin. And later, we're digging into some political news here at Fox. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Soulmates, I see y'all trying to get the tea. Fish Eye Jedi said, Claudia should start spilling the tea so these numbers can go up. I give y'all enough where you can go ahead and look it up, and then we can, you know, we can revisit. You can put your questions in the chat. You know, I'll answer y'all sometimes when I'm in the mood. Okay. Instead of training for his upcoming fight against Mike Tyson, Jake Paul is looking for new ways to get under Mike's skin. Now, Jake Paul posted a video of himself getting a replica of Mike's famous face tattoo. He also posted a side-by-side photo of himself and Mike Tyson and captioned, "Who did it better?" Do you think Jake Paul is getting too cocky, Al? What do you think?
No, I think Jake Paul is doing what he does best. This guy is a marketing genius, and he leans on his marketing skills to, you know, kind of meet him with his athletic abilities. And, you know, as it relates to Mike Tyson, though, before I talk about that, Claudia, I know I want to be sensitive on my thoughts, because I know that you have a very close friend that was violently, you know, a violent sexual assault situation, and you've talked about it on here, but as it relates to Mike Tyson, for me, I think it's great to see a 60-year-old man who kind of turned his life around, still boxing. He's a legend, and for Mike Paul to get him in the ring, it's just all a big marketing ploy that just makes a lot of sense for anybody that's in the boxing exhibition game. And we know that Mike Tyson's getting $50 million, so as a 60-year-old man cashing in on a $50 million bag, you can't be doing that wrong. And for for Mike Paul to get in the ring with an icon, a legend, a trailblazer, and one of the best to ever do it in professional boxing, it's just smart for his career as well. So for me, it's a win-win situation for both.
Okay. All right. Armand, what do you think about this?
I think that Jake Paul is just doing what Jake Paul does. Like, he's trying to get all the legends and trying to beat them all. Like, that guy, whether you like him or not, Jake Paul is a beast. And, you know, I'm actually excited about this fight. And I also seen Mike Tyson practicing, too. So this is not going to be an easy win for Jake Paul. But I want to see what actually happens here because, you know, Jake Paul doesn't really lose fights. I don't really keep up with his whole record. But he's known for knocking people out. You know, he's one of the best in the game right now. So I think that, you know, a lot of people are respecting that this white boy YouTuber turned boxer is really a problem. And he's being able to call some of the greats to the carpet. So I think he's doing what he should do. And I can't wait to see the fight. I'm actually going to be watching this one. I'm going to pay for it.
I think this is a lose-lose for Jake Paul, because if you win, okay, you beat a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Like, knock it off. Okay, we all
know.
What
a legend.
He is a legend, but he's still 60 years old. Now, do I think
Mike Tyson... say they knocked the legend out?
Yeah, again, a 60-year-old legend. That's like me beating a 100-year-old former beauty pageant contestant that was a legend in the 1920s, but I beat her. She's a legend. You know, I just feel like if he beats him, okay, you beat a legend, but you beat him at definitely not in his prime. And if you lose, you got your butt kicked by a 60-year-old. And I actually think that Jake Paul might need to watch his mouth a little bit. Listen, y'all know I'm not a fan of Mike Tyson, the man, but I definitely can respect his career as a boxer. Like, ain't no playing with no Mike Tyson. I think he's still a beast after all these years. Even at 60, I think he's still going to be... I don't think it's going to be easy for anyone, but I just feel like this white boy is getting a little too cocky. Now, there's been a bunch of things going around on the internet. I'm trying to find out what's true or not. There was rules that saying that Jake Paul gets to wear headgear and Mike Tyson not, but then they said maybe that's not the case. I will say this. One of the soulmates is definitely telling us, are you sure, though, said Jake Paul has it in his contract that his opponents are not allowed to knock him out. So all this is fake and foolish. Yannick Jacob says, don't sleep on Jake Paul. I've seen him train a few times. As much as I hate to admit it, the kid got some stamina. And DJ Truth, the Truth said, Mike is not to be played with. Come prepared, white boy. And Miss Peaches said, I hope Mike whoop his butt.
Well, whichever soulmate that mentioned the stamina, I think the stamina is what's going to be the judge here, right? Because Mike Tyson is older. He's 60. So to go multiple rounds without oxygen may be a challenge. But if he gets in that range, if he gets into Mike Tyson's range and get hit by old Mike Tyson left or right, he's going down.
I think you guys are missing, like, this is not like a 60-year-old regular person like us, guys. Like, did you guys see that rehearsal video or like that sparring video of Mike Tyson? You know, the sparring video, like, this dude was going crazy.
Debbie Bryant said, Jake Paul should be ashamed of fighting a senior citizen.
Well, no, damn. Absolutely not. Because I feel like if I'm just now getting into the game and I'm younger, listen, that's probably one of my dreams to fight Mike Tyson. And if he's willing and able to do so, I'm getting in the ring with him, 60 or not. If he want the fight, I'm going to give it to him because that's probably something that I want as a young boxer to have that fight, to say, hey, I fought Mike Tyson. So if he's willing to give me that and we can make some millions of dollars, get in the ring. Let's run it.
Mike, make your money and barely just play. Don't even overexert yourself with this fight. Just get your bread and get your money right.
Floyd Mayweather won't get in the ring with him.
Well, it's two different weight classes. They could never be in the same fight. You know what I mean? Like, Mike is a heavyweight. And I think Floyd is like feather. He's like a lightweight. All right, a 26-year-old police officer in Mississippi has lost his job after a violent encounter with a man he arrested. Now, the officer, Michael Christian Green, ignored the suspect when he knocked on the door of the holding cell and told the officer that he needed to use the restroom. Now, after a significant amount of time went by, the suspect urinated in the corner of the holding cell. Green then forced the man to lick the urine off the floor and threatened to beat him with the phone. Look at him, weirdo. What are your thoughts on this, Al?
My thought is this is in the state of freaking Mississippi. And you know what I think about the cops in Mississippi. Not sure if you saw the news this morning, but this is the same state where the four officers were accused of torturing that black man they were sentenced today for only 20 years. But Mississippi is Mississippian. And I said this before here, and I need them to clean up these police stations in that state. They have a long history of abusing the Black and brown community in that state. And where is the outrage from the Latino community? They are not speaking up. Our Latino outlets covering it because it hasn't even made it to mainstream. We appear to be some of the only people that are talking about it in the space today. And the other thing is, this stupid officer, yeah, I'm calling you stupid. This stupid officer, the reason why he got caught is because he filmed it. I keep saying, why are these people filming their own crimes? And they found out about this at a Christmas party, a police station Christmas party.
Unbelievable. Armand, what do you think about this case? Disgusting.
I just think it's disgusting. And I hate the idea that whenever I hear stuff about it, like stuff like this, it just further makes me not like the police, you know? And I'm supposed to feel protected by the police. I'm supposed to want to like the police. I'm supposed to, you know, see them and respect them. But you see stuff like this and it just turns me off against police officers. And I think that at some point they're going to have to get this together because Black and brown people, we don't feel safe around police, you know? And I just think it's an unfortunate situation because these are supposed to be the people that are supposed to protect us and they end up violating us in many ways.
Can you imagine having to suck up your own urine off the ground?
It's absolutely disgusting. I'm going to say this. Mississippi people, I cannot stress this enough. There is no reason why this should be going on in your state. You have the largest Black population of any state in America. You should be having, your governor should be Black. Your judges should be Black. Your police chief should be Black. You have to utilize your voting power. Get out of the Jim Crow era, like fight back, stop letting these people just run circles around y'all. Damn it. I won't say a majority, but you have a very large chunk of the population, 38% voting block. If you guys all utilize your voices when most people don't even vote, like, you know what I mean? Like y'all could have so much power. And I need the Democratic Party to go down there and get people registered to vote to fight this. There's no way these type of people should be allowed. He just resigned. So he gets to get his pension. And he still gets to get paid. This weird old dude with this stupid looking toupee who did this sadistic thing. What other gross stuff has he done to people that he did not film is what I want to know. And the fact, like, where is his punishment? It's just unbelievable. Mississippi, if you want to bring back slavery, just say it because your actions are showing it the way you're treating Black people in your jails. Like, it's unbelievable.
And we know that he came from another police station. So he has previous experience in law enforcement. So maybe he has a history. He needs to be investigated across the board.
Tiff to the NA said, people don't speak up in Mississippi, and that's the problem. And Prolific Queen New York said he'll be hired by another department next week. Yeah. And Tanya Christopher said, Mississippi is in need of an intervention from education to law enforcement. And might I add, Mississippi is always in the bottom three of every single statistic. It's always for obesity, for health, for education, everything, bottom all the time. And you keep going with the same type of government. Y'all got to switch it up over there, y'all. It is the armpit of the nation, your government, and the way they run that state and how they treat Black people. And yes, I said it, be mad. Coming up next, we're digging into some political news and later find out why a man was denied entry from upscale Atlanta restaurant. Uh-oh, we'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, you know we always try to hook y'all up with some information that will make your life easy, especially when it comes to money, because who does not need more money? Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so watch your payday. The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Now, Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you work, and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Al, tell us about your experience with Earnin. What do you think about this?
You know what? I just decided that Earnin could be great for when you're close to payday, but not quite there, but you need to buy a friend a gift or a special night out with a friend or someone you're dating. Earnin definitely can help you take them out, get them a birthday gift if you don't have the money and able to pay it back without penalty when the money is in your account.
Years ago, my cat had emergency surgery and I had to max out my credit card with the 20% interest or whatever it was at the time. And I wish earning was around for that because this would have been perfect for that. All right, make earning a part of your financial routine and join earning's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. Then when you download the Earnin app, type in T under podcast. Now, when you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's T-E-A under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Promotional considerations furnished by Earnin. All right, let's get back to some topics. All right, y'all. Uncle Sam can't seem to stay out of the news lately. From dirty politicians to people speaking out against their governments all around the world, we're getting into the tea with a new segment we like to call Political Tea with Claudia. All right, y'all. Donald Trump is being accused of making threats of political violence. Now, during a campaign rally in Ohio, Trump said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the country. The Biden campaign accused Trump of doubling down on his threats of political violence, but Trump's campaign claims he was only talking about the destruction of the auto industry. I'm going to ask y'all if you think that was a threat, but I am going to say this. It was him speaking about the auto industry in that sentence. But after someone who has been accused of, and we know, has incited an insurrection, I think a president or a former president should be a lot more careful about the kind of words he uses because of this. People don't really watch the whole speech. They get a snippet of it and they run with it. And it's not like it's not off brand for Donald Trump to say something like this. He's always calling, you know, death and destruction. And if Joe Biden gets elected, it's going to be the end of the world. But guess what's happening, fellas? Unemployment is down, especially in the Black community. Student loans, over $1 billion of student loan forgiveness has happened in this country. And, we have a whole bunch of other things that are going. The stock market, all-time high. Do you think this was a threat? How do you feel about hearing the snippet of that, Al? I know you heard him.
I think he doesn't care. I think he doesn't care. I think he loves the fact that there was a merge of thought there or whatever that he intended. All I can say is if Trump is reelected as president again, after all these allegations and convictions and over $500 million in fines and fees and court, all that stuff, and we're learning that he can't afford it, I will go on the record and say the fabric in which this country, in which the United States of America's Constitution was founded on, is eroding right in front of our eyes. How can we allow a person who jeopardizes all of our civil and social justice rights, how do we even think about electing him back into the presidency? I mean, he is doing things to turn back the hand of time as it relates to women rights, as it relates to African-American history, as it relates to LGBTQ plus community. Where is the outrage with this? And why is he still an option? It's what's baffling me to this day.
I will say America is doing what America does. I remember when Barack Obama was in office, he had scandal for weeks for calling a reporter baby. Honey, a sweetie, I think it was. And also he had a tan suit on and you could think this man incited an insurrection like somebody else. It shows you white male privilege in this country, how it continues to be a thing. And Donald Trump, you'd also made this comment before. So you are 1000% gaslighting us. You say it, then you go, well, I meant it was like this. It's just the false media, the fake news.
I think that this is definitely dangerous language to use because, I mean, we can't lie. Trump, as entertaining or whatever people I might say that he is, he does come with this underlying notion of racism, prejudice, and violence. So I think by making statements like that, whether you're talking about the auto industry, you know you're talking to a people who are racist. You know, and down to incite violence. So calling it a bloodbath is really playing to that idea of creating violence and mayhem in this country if he does not get elected. So
yeah, I agree.
I definitely feel like that is a cold way of saying, act up if I don't get elected. You know what I'm saying?
In fact, Armand, that little hat you're wearing is giving me a little MAGA vibes over there.
No, it's a Mary, not MAGA.
You know, he knows the coded language. He knows, like, it's just like when he says stand by and stand down, yeah, like, be ready. And that's what he does. He throws the red meat out there and then plays like, what are you talking about? I didn't mean that. All right, Trump, we'll see what happens. Keep it locked, because coming up next, find out why a man was denied an entry from an upscale Atlanta restaurant. And later, we're playing a fun game in celebration of Women's History Month. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Soulmates, don't forget to hit that like button in the chat. We see y'all. Show the show some love with your likes. All right, a man was outraged after being denied entry from a sushi restaurant in Atlanta. Take a look at this resurfaced clip.
You're so sweet.
No problem.
Yes or no? Look,
I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from, but please, we're all minorities here.
No, where y'all are not treating me like y'all are a part of me. Does she have on Adidas?
I didn't see her shoes. She's the one.
She does have on Adidas shoes. That is something we can understand.
Once again, look, I'm the assistant.
White lady has on Adidas. I have on Nikes. You tell me I can't sit down. That's not right.
Oh my God, I'm so sick of this. What do you think about this? Do you think it was racial discrimination? Armand, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, this has happened to me before. This happens all the time in certain restaurants. They just see Black people and they feel as though they don't want you in their establishment. And so they find the slightest thing to you know, discount you and make you feel like you can't come in there. And so the owner ended up coming out and arguing with the guy. It was just a mess. And he kind of tried to put his foot down, like, you just can't come in here. Like, he had no real reason. He pointed out the fact that the guy had on Air Force Ones. He didn't want him in the establishment for whatever reason. It could be the look, it could be the hair, it could be the fact that he's a big Black guy. But he racially profiled him for sure. And, you know, that's what it is. It happens all the time, and it's an unfortunate situation.
Al, what do you think?
You know, although I feel like that this was definitely racist, there's two things here that really is upsetting. Number one, restaurants have the ability to deny, if they have a sign up, anyone that they don't want to serve. That's allowed. And number two is, we as Black people have got to understand that if they don't want us there, then we need to take our money somewhere else. Why do you constantly want to be accepted in spaces in 2024, especially in Atlanta, when you got tons of other options to spend your money and support racist people like this? You've got to take back your power as the consumer. If they don't want you there because they are racist, don't spend there so they're racist. Self can have more power in the community. It's that simple. Take your money where you're wanted. 1 + 1 will always equal 2. If you give them more power by giving them more financial incentives and rewarding them, then they're going to use it for bad. They're going to deny you entry. Get the heck out of there. Take it to the law. Get you a lawyer. Sue them. Run it up over on social media. Show how racist they are, and get everyone to give them a bad review. Hit them in their pockets if you want to change their behavior. Period. Arguing with them about being racist when you're empowering them to be racist is ridiculous.
I get the emotional aspect of it, because in the moment you're like, wait, what? And then you want to fight for your rights. I get that. And yes, soulmates, we know the story is old, but it doesn't matter. It keeps on happening. This is a topic that we need to be talking about. We're going to sometimes talk about things that are not happening this week, but are good topics to discuss. And I think we've all probably had I know I've had a situation like this before where it was very obvious. I was in Alabama. I was hosting Genuine's concert. We went to the mall to promote and tell people to come through. He's really in town. I had some Louis Vuitton shades on that were half dark and half white light. And they rolled up on me and said, you cannot wear sunglasses in the mall. I said, why not? There's a whole bunch of other people, white people. And they only stopped me. They called the police on us right when all that stuff was happening, where Black people getting murdered just by police showing up. And the reason why we bring up stories like this, it doesn't matter if it's old or new, these type of things keep on happening. And yes, we do need to have a better way of fighting back. I will say Yelp has been a fantastic way to shut these businesses down, give them bad reviews, because now a lot of people are going to the reviews now before they go. They're not just going blindly and supporting. So I think galvanize, get together. You know, you can make things very uncomfortable for these businesses that choose to treat us like this. We have $2 trillion of spending power, Black folks in America. Let's use it. All right. We have a comment. Synergy 7 said, then you want them to make your food. You don't know that's scary right there.
Yeah.
All right. Massive brawl took place in the crowd during Kanye West's appearance at Rolling Loud's music festival. An allegedly transgender woman was in the middle of the fight and was struck repeatedly by men in the crowd while also throwing punches themselves. Social media did not seem to have any sympathy. Someone wrote, "So a man fought another man. No one cares." Another person wrote, "This has nothing to do with violence towards trans. This individual wanted to fight and proceeded towards the other person and got a beatdown. End of story. Moving forward." What are your thoughts on this? Armand, I think you were at a Rolling Loud, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't know, because here's the thing. This is why I don't like going to those kind of things, because on one hand, this could have been a fight. But then on the other hand, this is what they do. It's in those mosh pits. Like, they be really, really high. They be doped up on all those pills and drugs and lean and all kind of stuff. And when certain artists come on, because I think this was Kanye West night, like, if it's like Kanye West, Travis Scott, Lil Uzi Vert, those guys, they have these mosh pits where you'll literally see people walking up socking each other in the face. And I'm like, oh no. If somebody hit me, I'm going to lose my mind. So I don't really know if this was a fight or not, because then after the trans was all bloodied up, everybody went back to partying. So some of this is part of that festival culture. They do this there.
So even though the trans threw the first punch, do you think since they identify as women that men should have fought them out? Or what do you think? This is like tricky right here, right? Or is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond tricky. It's mentally confusing.
Oh,
you know, I grew up in, I'm just old school. I grew up, you don't fight women, you don't fight kids, and you don't fight the elderly. So for me to watch this, I'm like, okay, where do you stand with this? However, the trans lady or the trans woman, she was not backing down. She was swinging and getting knocked in the head and still coming back and getting in some good licks. So what do you say and what do you feel?
Luckily, sorry.
No. Luckily, in this case, there were no arrests. They went back to dancing. And like Armand said, this is on brand for Kanye and Travis Scott in those pits. And it looked like everything went back to normal. So what do you actually say about it? Is it okay? Is it okay for a biological man to still fight a trans woman? Is that okay?
Here's the thing. This is what I was going to say. I think that a lot of time headlines in the media, we gaslight that word trans. Just because you have a hair and a woman's top on does not make you trans. Like, that could have just been a non-binary. That could have been a boy in girl's clothing. You know what I mean? A cross-dresser. Like, everybody that dresses feminine or looks androgynous is not trans. But I think the media uses that word trans because it's like a clickbait hot button topic. To me, if you ask me, that wasn't a trans. That was just a gay boy or non-conforming. So there's nothing about that was trans. He had on a girl shirt on. To me, that wasn't trans.
Valeria Stevens seems to think we're transphobic just by talking about it. Stop talking about trans folks. All of you are transphobic. That's not true. Yaya 502 said, how was this man supposed to know how they identify? True. And PK said, like you said, Armand, the mosh pit is used for fighting. So
yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't there. And I'll never be in a mosh pit because I'm not about that life. Coming up, play a fun game with us in celebration of Women's History Month. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. Take a look at this tweet. All these pregnancy announcements and no wedding announcements. I truly hate that for everyone. Let's bring monogamy and nuclear families back. Thank you. Do you think young people see less value in marriage? Al, what do you think about this?
Oh, there you go. Why you always go to the old dude on the panel? You know I'm old fashioned. You know I come
Because you and I have both been married, so I don't think
okay. Well, you know, I come from a family. My parents were married until my father passed for 45 years. My brothers and sisters, we all believe in the institution of marriage. They've been married. Everyone's been married over 20 plus years. I'm the only one that kind of failed at marriage. But this is what I will say. I think the reason why, and I don't have any kids, I think the reason why everyone's really going in on like these baby showers and these gender reveals is because they know they'll never make it down the aisle to the altar to be married. So they're like, you know what? I don't have to be married to have a kid, and I don't have to be married to have these great events. I mean, to have these bridal showers that are over the top or these gender reveals that are over the top. That's my interpretation.
Okay, Armand, what do you think about this?
I think we just have to be honest. Women nowadays, they don't really want a husband. They really just want to make sure that they can have a baby. Like, a lot of women are just trying to get babies before they run out of eggs. Like, I mean, we've seen it with Drea. We've seen that happen, you know, time and time again. A lot of women are just like, you know what? I just want the baby. So, and I feel like people are realizing, you know, marriage is a little bit of a joke these days because you end up getting stuck with this person that you don't like for this long amount of time, and you end up, you know, being miserable or living in separate places, sleeping in separate bedrooms, and then not working 20 years down the line. And then you're thinking, well, why did I stay with you this long? I could have just had the baby and did my thing and moved on. So I just think people are over, and I think people should mind their business. Everybody doesn't need to get married, and everybody doesn't want the headache of a divorce.
I don't think everyone should get married. I think a lot of people should stay away from it because they're just doing it because it's supposed to. But I gotta push back a little bit on the girls like not wanting marriage. I think a lot of us are giving up. Everybody I know wants the fairy tale, wants the wedding, wants the man first. But it seems like I'm really not seeing men feeling like they want to make it sense for them. Maybe they're getting away from it, further and further away from it. I really don't see people fighting for relationships anymore. I feel like people are very casual. It's a microwave society. If it ain't happening real fast, if it ain't happening tonight, I'm not going to fight for it. I don't know. I don't really feel like people want to be committed to anything now. Even not even just marriage, a hairstyle, a friendship, a car. Like, no one can commit to anything. I just feel like people are just really fly by the seat of their pants now. I don't really see.
Well, because it just ends up being a waste of time. People are more fluid. A lot of polyamorous relationships are happening now. You know, people want to have one and two partners. I mean, two and three partners.
Well, I think we have to, you know, regardless of how we feel about it, the institution of marriage, you know, broken homes is a huge problem in the Black community, and it creates a lot of issues for us economically, socially, and civically. And I just think that we got to understand, if you're not going to be married, the importance of still having a father and a mother in the raising of these kids and these families in Black America.
And one last thing, I think I mentioned this before recently, financially. Like, there, we can't lie. There's a huge problem in our community. We have a lot of broken homes in our community, right? A lot of other society, nationalities, they have marriages. They build wealth together. Like, two incomes in one house is so much more. Your life would be so different than just doing it all by yourself. I just wish we think financially, it definitely can help you. I don't know. But hey, it ain't for everybody, and everybody shouldn't do it. So we got to move on. Okay, we're about halfway through Women's History Month. To continue our celebration, we want to highlight some wise words and famous quotes that have been said by some of the most powerful and noteworthy women to date. Let's play a game of She Said What?
All right. Oh, I'm gonna be bad at this.
All right. A famous quote will pop up on the screen, and we will all guess which woman is responsible for saying it. Let's cue the music. All right, our first quote is, the air is the only place free from prejudice. Fellas, can you guess who said this famous quote?
What are our options?
What, you know this one?
No, what are our options?
None. Just gotta pull them out the hat.
Is she a judge? Is she a Supreme Justice?
Oh.
Is she a
Loretta Devine.
Okay, I don't have
it. We don't have it.
Joy Reid.
Bessie Coleman. We're not getting these. The answer is Bessie Coleman, the first Black woman to hold a pilot license.
Okay.
All right. Up next, women must become revolutionary. This cannot be evolution, but revolution.
That's got to be someone, Angela Davis. That has to be some type of activist. Who else was an activist back in the 70s and 80s? Claudia, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Listen, I don't know these answers. What's the answer? Yes. Oh, Shirley Chisholm. Shirley Chisholm, the first Black woman to be elected to the United States Congress, and she was trying to become, she actually ran to try to be president as well. Next up, to bring about change, you must not be afraid to take the first step. We will fail when we fail to try. We need some hints.
I feel like I heard this one before, but I don't know who said it.
All my answers are Maya Angelou. All my answers are going to be Maya Angelou.
Oh, that's a good one. We'll go with that
bring
one.
About change,
maybe Rosa Parks.
Oh, you got it right.
Rosa Parks. The person responsible for this quote is Rosa Parks. Okay. Don't sit down and wait for the opportunities to come. Get up and make them. Can you guess who said this quote?
Mm-mm. Oprah?
We need choices.
Get up and make them. Maya Angelou, get up, make them. Social activists of some sort, I'm sure.
We have lost this game.
The people are saying Brandy, Harriet Tubman, Monica Lewinsky, Michelle Obama, Coretta Scott. You know what? Okay. The answer is Madam C.J. Walker, the first female self-made millionaire in America. Oh my God, we're horrible. I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept.
Oh, I feel like I heard this one before, but I don't know.
We have heard this before.
I feel like this is this Maya Angelou? It's gotta be Maya. Come on, man. One gotta be Maya Angelou.
Oh, I got it. I was Angela Davis. Okay.
The person behind this quote is Angela Davis, a feminist, political activist, philosopher, and author. Last but not least, those that don't got it can't show it. Those that got it can't hide it.
You sound sassy. I don't know. I feel like I should know this one, but I don't.
This is embarrassing.
This game was too long for it, and we did not know.
Hey, Claudia, you're the resident woman.
The answer is author and filmmaker Zora Neale Hurston. You gotta know that one.
No, not at all.
Jadel Celestine said, "This is painful watching us." Yeah.
It's painful doing it, sweetheart.
Yeah, we a little rusty on our history and we need to work on it. You know what? I'm going to go research some stuff just because of this segment. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight. Thanks so much for watching us on YouTube. Please do your research on Black women and we will join you. Stay tuned for Foxhole's Face Off. We will see you back here tomorrow. That was bad. Yo, we are bad. Are we dumb?
No, we're not dumb.
We knew
the influential women. We did know influential Black women in the space.